Praise God. Well, now that we're in a laughing matter, I'm going to tell you a couple jokes. Okay? I told my dad yesterday. It's funny. I heard him this week. And it's good for laughter. Lightens me up. There's this young boy who was in school. And he goes to his teacher. And he says, "Teacher," he says, "do you know that Jonah got swallowed by a whale?" And she goes, "How do you know that's true?" He said, "Because the Bible told me so." And she goes, "Well, how do you know that's true?" He goes, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." The teacher says, "How do you know you're going to heaven?" Or a teacher says, "How do you know he's in heaven? How do you know he's not in hell?" He goes, "Well, then, if he's in hell, you ask him." She says, "I got another one. I got one more." Okay. Same thing, teacher in classroom. The teacher goes to the student and says, "If any of you think you're stupid, stand up." So none of the kids stood up. And the teacher says, "Seriously, if any of you guys think you're stupid, stand up." So then one boy slowly stands up. And the teacher goes, "Why do you think you're stupid?" He goes, "I don't." He goes, "I just want you standing alone." says, that's enough of the jokes. Okay, let's get on with the message, okay? The real reason why I'm here, right? But Dale asked me about a month and a half ago to step in today to preach. And when he did so, I went right to prayer. I went to ask God, what does he want me to speak on for the body here at Assembly of God? You know, I said, what is it that you want to speak to us? We want to hear from you. And so he led me to the scripture here that we're going to speak on today. So if it's for one or if it's for many, I know it's for me. So this sermon I'm speaking on today for. So, and I'm sure it's going to be for many here today. But, so that's what led me to this scripture, this sermon today. Stay. That'd be nice. Okay, let's pray before we start. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you for your word, Father God, Lord. How it blesses our life, Father, Lord Jesus. How it's the way, Lord, here on earth, Father, Lord, your word. Lord, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint me right now, Lord Jesus. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak through me, to bring me to remembrance, Lord Jesus, of what you want me to preach on today, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the congregation today, Lord Jesus, for open hearts and minds, Lord Jesus, for a teachable heart, Father, Lord Jesus. That they hear from you, Lord Jesus, that they hear that you minister to their hearts, Father, Lord Jesus, today in this message, Father, Lord. We praise and glorify your name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I don't have the scripture up here today, so let's turn to Matthew 16. Chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Okay. All right, in the book of Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 18. And it reads, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever they loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Okay, all right. Excuse me, man. I'm just trying to think before I speak. Okay? Because sometimes I speak before I think, and then I get all messed up. But anyhow, what I want to start out is today, the time that we're living in today, there's a battle out there for our time, our energy, our strength. What I'm trying to say is that just everyday life, we're busy. You know, we're busy. We're being pulled either from the left or right from things in the world. You know, our time, our minds, and so on and so forth. And so there's always a battle for something to consume our time. And sometimes, by the end of the day, we don't find ourselves spending any time with Christ, whether it be in word or in his prayer. And the reason why I mention this is because when the Lord gave me this scripture, and as I pondered on it and meditated on it, and to seek out what he's trying to tell on this scripture, to teach me, to teach you. And sometimes the Lord will just give you a word or two or a sentence, and then he'll reveal it to you over time, what he's trying to tell you. It has meaning to you. So what I'm trying to say is that the Lord was speaking about his children spending more time with him on a daily basis. In other words, like I was saying earlier, our time in every day is getting pulled from something in the world. And I believe that we're living in the last days, okay, just by the signs and stuff in the last days. But I also, that because we're living in the last days, the enemy, like what Mike was speaking about earlier, about the enemy that's against us, knows the times that we're living in. And so what I'm trying to say is the enemy is trying to distract, trying to pull our minds, our energy, our strength into the world and away from God, from spending time with God. So as the Lord gave me the scripture and as I pondered on it, what he was speaking to my heart was that he desires for his children to spend more time with him, to seek his face. Not so much his hand, but his face. And so today, hopefully, I can encourage you to do so. That's my objective for today, is to do through the scripture, is to encourage you to spend more time with Christ. Okay? Making sense? Okay. Okay, as we read in Matthew 16, here Jesus is talking to Peter in this chapter, in this verse. He's talking to Peter, in which we all know Peter is one of the disciples that Jesus chose. He was a fisherman. I'm just trying to get you up just up to speed here. He was a fisherman, and basically Jesus told him, cast down your nets and come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And this is what Jesus is, this is who Jesus is talking to in Matthew 16:18, Peter. And he says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Now what Jesus was saying that to Peter, excuse me a minute, this is my water, right? That's just a little joke to my dad, because he says, do you want me to get water for you tomorrow? And I says, yeah, you know, because he gets the water for Dale. And he's like, you want to get the water? Oh, Sandy? Thank you, Sandy. Anyhow, he says to Peter, he says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. I'm going to stop there for a minute. And what Jesus was telling Peter at this time, he was telling Peter, God has a will for you here on earth. In other words, he's telling Peter, the next verse goes, and upon this rock I will build my church. So, but I want to back it up to what he's telling to Peter. He's telling Peter, he says, you are my chosen child. And, you know, you have faith in me. And God has a will and a purpose and a plan for you here on earth. And as we know, it's to build a church, which is a big, big responsibility. I mean, because back in the time, back in that day, Peter and the disciples, they understood the law, which was they were under the law before they were induced to the grace. But anyhow, so Jesus was telling Peter, this is the will of God for you here on earth. And I just want to stop there for a minute and just reflect that back on us. We are chosen children of God. And if we are believers in Christ, we have faith in Christ. We are his sons. He says in his word that, you know, if you have faith in me, you are my sons and daughters. And what I'm trying to say here is that God has a will and a purpose and a plan for every one of you. So if you're a son of God and a daughter of God, you're his children. He has a will and a purpose in your life here on earth to glorify him, to bring him glory. And by saying so, if you don't already know what God's perfect will is in your life here on earth, I just want to encourage you to pray and ask and seek him what is his perfect will for your life. Because nobody's left out. He has a calling upon everybody. And if you don't know what the will of God is in your life, ask him, seek him, pray about it. He will show you. He will show you what that will is. But you got to be willing to accept that will. Because when he says my will, it's no longer your will. Amen? Amen? So, but I just want to encourage you to do so. And one of the reasons why I want to encourage you to do so is because me personally, God's will is for me to pastor, to teach, to minister, is what I'm tempted to do today. training, but praise God. But my point of it is that was his will, his calling on me for a long time. And I knew it. And I knew it for a long time, but I didn't make it my priority. I went back and forth in my life. Because what I'm trying to say is with the calling he put upon me is where I had to study, I had to meditate, I had to learn and spend time in his word and develop what he's calling me to do. But for a while, I struggled with it. I'd go back and forth. I'd do it for a couple of days, and then I'd get out. Do it for a couple of days. I'm being honest here. Being honest here, right? I didn't make it my priority in life. And 3 or 4 months ago, I made it my priority. So, what his will, so I surrendered my will, and it took his will, and I made his will my priority. And I'm only sharing this with you because if you do so, make it your priority. Whatever God's will is. I mean, his will might be for you to be a missionary. It might not be. It might be for you to be like Billy Graham. I mean, who knows? Only you'll know. Search it out. But I encourage it because his way is better than your ways. So once you start surrendering yourself and seeking out his will and making it a priority in life and living out his will, life inside just gets easier. It's more comfortable. You get more, and I'm only saying this because the last 3 or 4 months I made that my priority. And since I've been doing so, I'm more lifted up. My spirit, my faith is greater. And he provides for whatever his will is. And I just want to encourage you to search that out, seek that out, whatever his will in your life is. Pray, and he'll tell you. He'll tell you. Okay, let me go on. And he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And what Jesus was saying, upon this rock, what Jesus was saying, let me back up here, I'm sorry. Here I go, speaking before I think. I just want to share a scripture about God's will in your life, which I hope this encourages you. And 1 John 2:17, I wrote it down here, so you don't have to look it up. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen? Amen? That's very encouraging. Very encouraging. Okay, let me go on here. And upon this rock I will build my church. What Jesus is saying, this rock is, he's saying Christ himself is the foundation. He is the rock. And I just want to elaborate on that for a little bit about Christ himself. What he was saying to Peter here is, he was saying that my righteousness, he was saying that me laying my life down at the cross, shedding my blood for your sins, he was, what Jesus was telling Peter, he was saying that, you know, he hasn't gone to the cross yet at this point, obviously, but he was telling Peter that when I sacrifice myself, I lay myself down, I shed the innocent blood, he said, I'm not only going to forgive the sins of man and there be no more condemnation upon man, but he was also saying that my strength, he said, my, because of my righteousness, he says, you can have the promises of God in your life. What you're saying about the foundation, you're saying, make me the core. He said, put your trust in me. Put your trust in me, not just that I will forgive your sins, but trust in me that I can deliver you from sickness, that I can deliver you from bondage, I can deliver you from poverty, any curse upon this earth. So you got to understand something about the enemy. Mike was saying earlier, we can't be ignorant to what the enemy. In other words, I'm not saying go in and study the enemy, but know what the enemy does. Be aware of it. Know in this world, and the enemy's constantly, every day, constantly. And it could be through people. It could be through television. It could be through radio. It could be through many ways the enemy could attack you, to come against you. But my point is, recognize it. And once you do, cancel it out. Come against it, you know. And Jesus was telling Peter in here, he was saying that, make me the foundation. I'm the foundation of the church. He says, I'm the rock of the church. And he's saying, trust in me in every words in your areas of your life. Trust in me not only in your sins are forgiven, but trust in me that you know, I have your finances. Trust in me that, you know, over your health. Trust in me over your children. Trust in me of everything. God wants your whole trust. He doesn't want part of your trust. He wants all your trust. He says, I'm the foundation of the church. Amen? Amen. It's because of his righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. It's not, there's nothing that we do. Nothing that we do. It's because of what Jesus did. And Jesus said, I did it at the cross over 2,000 years ago. And what did he say on the cross? It is finished. In other words, he said, I paid the price. I bought you. Trust in me. Make me the foundation. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's go on to the next one. And he said, upon, I'm going back here. He said that, I will build my church. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Church. Which we know the definition of a church. Excuse me. The definition of a church is like this here, a building is where believers individually come together and come to give God praise and glory into a building. It's a church. But what he's saying here too is you're the church. What he's telling Peter is, what's it, Paul? Oh, no, go ahead.
I just was thinking where two or three people come together.
Yes, yeah, amen, amen. No, no, it's okay. No, I don't mind. I don't mind interaction. I don't. It makes me comfortable. But and I just want to touch on this church here, because this is one of the things, like I was saying in the beginning there, about God asking His children to seek more of Him, spend more time with Him. So I just want to touch on the church. What is the responsibility of the church when He says the church? This is talking about us, okay? No, go ahead. No, share your thought. Share your thought. Yes, amen. Amen. Now, as a church hears it individually, what is the responsibility of the church? And I'm saying this as individually. And let me just say why I'm saying this. Because sometimes, and this is I'm talking about myself here. Sometimes as Christians, don't want me, we sometimes want to ask God for this, or God to do this, or for this, or for this from God. Constantly asking. And expect God to do it. Expect God to show up and do it on certain things. And my point, what I'm trying to say is, God says, you're the church. He says, you have a responsibility. You have something you have to do. In other words, we want to seek the blessings of Christ, but we want to skip all the in between and just go to the blessing. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, as a church, God wants us to spend time with him. He wants to spend time in the Word of God and in prayer and in worship him. He wants a relationship with him. He wants a personal relationship with him. And this is very important. This is what this whole thing is all about right here, is why I'm speaking today. Is just trying to encourage you to spend a relationship with God, because God wants you to seek his face, but he wants to seek your face on a daily basis. He wants you to do it in the Word. You know, the Word of God is very, very important. And this is sometimes, a lot of people lack on this. A lot of times you hear somebody say, you got a Bible, and they say it's on the shelf with dust all over it. You know what I mean? Because that's the number one thing the enemy wants you to do. Do you know what the number one thing the enemy wants you not to do is read the Word of God? Do you know that's the number one thing? Because when you read the Word of God, it's inspired from God. This is God's words. This is life-giving words right here. And once you spend time in the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus. You're getting closer to Jesus. You're getting to know him more. He can reveal himself more to you. Your faith builds. Your confidence builds. Your trust builds once you spend time in the Word of God. And this is the responsibility of the church. The church's responsibility is spending the Word of God. And in worship and prayer to do so. And like I said, the enemy knows. If you get this in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, and you start making it your life, and you start speaking it, you start living by it. Because once you get it in you, it's going to be on your mind. The Holy Spirit. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring you remembrance of the Word of God. But if you don't have the Word of God in you, how can you bring your remembrance of the Word of God? Are we together here? But it's very important though to meditate on it. Spend time in this. And a lot of people ask me, when I say that about the Word of God, they say, well, I start reading it, I don't understand it. And I was there myself when I first started reading it. And I'll just tell you how I overcame it and how I started becoming, when I first started. I started reading the Word of God, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. What are you trying to tell me? But I didn't stop. I mean, I did it again next day later. It might have been only one verse. It might have been only two verses. But I didn't stop. I kept on hungering and thirst to know what God is trying to tell us here. And you want to say something? Amen. Amen. We're gonna pray for you to end the service, and for your son Robbie. Amen. 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 And I'm glad you mentioned that, because you just brought me remembrance of part of this script, part of this message. It's about God's strength. And that was the other thing that God was speaking to me about. We're running on our own strength too much. And we're getting tired. We're getting beat up. Bottom line. This is the strength of God right here. His word, this is his strength. Once you get this in your heart, your mind, and soul, you get it, and you start speaking it. It starts coming alive in you. Now you're leaning on God's strength. But sometimes we like to pull that away from God and run back on our own strength. You know, instead of going to God first, we go to other sources. I do it. But again, back to the Word of God, when I first started reading it, and I didn't understand it. And what helped me was I didn't stop reading, okay? But the other thing that helped me, and this I really want to encourage, because back to the beginning when I said you have a world that is fighting for your time, your energy, and your focus, okay? You have a world out there that's doing that. That's constantly doing that. I mean, but what helped me is to start understanding and more was TBN, like Stella was saying, watching Christian stations on TV. Or the radio stations, Christian music on the radio station. Does anybody know K-Love? Okay, Family Life Network. All right. K-Love has a 30-day challenge. I recommend anybody to do it. Take the 30-day challenge. And what it's saying is, listen to this radio station for 1 month and watch God change you in the inside. It's true. It does really happen. But what I'm saying is, when I surrounded myself personally around those TV stations about great ministers on TV, learning about the Word of God, because the Bible says you got to hear the Word of God. See it, hear it, speak it. Once you hear it, you know, and in the radio station. And me personally, as I started reading, I started getting more involved into watching Christian stations, you know, godly men and women preach the Word of God on the radio. As time gone, the more I read the Word of God, the more that the door opened up to God, Jesus gave me revelation on what I'm reading. And then once the doors open up, the sky's the limit. It's excitement. It's joy. You know? So I just want to encourage you to Word of God. That's part of the church's duty. Very good point. You know, and making yourself a routine, like a goal, like, you know, one day, read from here to here, you know, because I think I heard one time, in 1 year you could read through the whole Bible if you follow these goals, you know. Right. But as you start reading it, you hunger and thirst for more. Something inside you just says, I want more. And then you start falling in love. You start falling in the Word of God. You find yourself, I love this Word. Okay, let me go on here because I'm holding you guys up. It's 10 after. Okay. But I just want to encourage you in that. You know, that's your strength. Every day, strength. Over everything is the Word of God, having the Word of God. That's God's strength, you know, and you run on His strength when you have the Word of God in you. Okay, let me go on here. And the last part here on this verse 18, it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And what Jesus is saying here, is that you have conquered over death. In other words, your sins are forgiven. You die, you're going to have eternity in heaven. Death has no sting on you. That's what Jesus is saying here. And then I'll finish up with 19 here. And it says, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever thou bind on earth, they shall bound in heaven. And whosoever thou loose on earth, shall be loosened in heaven. Here Jesus is saying the keys of the kingdom of heaven is that you have authority over on here on earth. You have authority here over everything here on earth.